Chinese religion appeals to the carnal, base nature of mankind. It praises people, does not judge them. Isaiah's contemporaries demanded in Isaiah 30, verses 10 and 11, said this, "Give us no more visions of what is right. Tell us pleasant things. Prophesy illusions. Leave this way. Get off this path and stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel." They were wanting what people want today, an ease religion of convenience, with more emphasis on the joy of living and less on the judgment of Almighty God. Make us feel good, they were saying that day. William James said this on one occasion, "Religion is either an acute fever or a dull formalism. There's no in between." Ease religion, by its very nature, is undemanding. This is what Jeroboam suggested to the people by urging them to worship at the shrines he had built with his false gods. "Don't go to so much trouble to worship. Don't go to Judah. It's too hard and too difficult." Sounds like something that's going on in some religions today. Some churches today don't take an offering during worship for fear of offending any unbelievers who might be present. They try to make the gospel more appealing by toning down some of its doctrines. Popular religion has become a secularized substitute for sacrificial commitment to the historic Christian faith. It gives way to the cult of convenience. It is afraid to pay the price of ridicule. Many have an unconscious fear that to go too far in religion makes a person strange, a fool, or a freak. Easy religion is the path of least resistance. But listen, what did Jesus say in Luke 9:23? "If any man would come after me, let him do what? Deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." I'm not talking about these gold crosses with jewels in it. It looked good, looked pretty. The cross that Jesus was talking about was a cross of pain and suffering. Dying to self. It's not the religion that many want today. It requires commitment and dedication. Many of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you have been here. Mount Pisgah Baptist Church has been through some difficult years, and I'm of the opinion that in the future, some of your ancestors, your people that come after you, some of your relatives, children, grandchildren, great children, grandchildren, great grandchildren, and others that follow are going to say, "We have a lot to thank God for those people. During those difficult days, their religion wasn't easy, but they were faithful. They stuck by the stuff. They stuck by the church when it wasn't too convenient, when it was challenging. But you stuck by it, and I thank God for it. Thank God for you." And I believe one day there's going to come a time when the ancestors that are ahead of you, that are coming behind you, are going to say, "We are thankful for their heritage that they left us, are dedicated to Almighty God. They refused to quit. They just kept on keeping on like they're supposed to." What a wonderful heritage. But what then would be the cost of an easy religion? Easy religion stifles growth and leads to stagnation and to death. If our religion is passive and demands nothing of us, our souls will shrivel up like an unused muscle. If we do only those things for the Lord that are convenient and never put ourselves out to do anything above and beyond the call of duty, we'll find ourselves shrinking and shriveling into nothing. Real religion will grow. I like what Henry P. Van Dusen said, and I quote, "Religion is the reaching out of one's whole being, mind, body, spirit, emotions, intuitions, will, for completion, for inner unity, for true relation with those about us, for right relation to the universe in which we live. Religion is life, a certain kind of life, life as it could and should be, a life of harmony within and true adjustments without. Life, therefore, in harmony with the life of God Himself. True religion is founded on a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ." True religion is based on a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we rejoice in that relationship. But easy religion stifles growth and leads to stagnation and death. But a religion that's based on a relationship to Jesus Christ will grow. That's why the Bible teaches us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How can we do that? By desiring the pure milk of the Word and going on from the milk of the Word to the meat of the Word of God. Bread and meat, feeding on the deep things of God. We also need to understand that easy religion is self-deceptive. I had a discussion with Deacon Body of a church I was pastoring about the budget many years ago. They wanted to cut some key areas. One of the key areas they wanted to cut in the budget was missions. They wanted to be able to do more things at home, they said. The excuse was that they had to cut missions to pay the preacher. My response to them was simply this. I was pretty bold back then. I was young in my first church. I didn't mind saying some things. I said the reason you couldn't pay the preacher was because you did not give to missions. You claim to be a missionary Baptist church, and how you can be missionary and not give to missions and set the example. Not only that, if you tithe, the people tithe the way they ought to. I said, if this deacon body tithe the way they ought to, you wouldn't have a problem to start with. Well, they were kind of quiet. They really didn't fire me. But later on, we were thankful. We became very successful in supporting missions. And still do it to this day, and I'm grateful to God that they do. God blesses those who honor Him and His Word. Give, and He will bless you to give more. Theirs was a wrong solution, and it was self-deception. That's an easy religion. It's a man-made solution to a spiritual problem. If you believe the Word of God, give, and it shall be given you what? Good measure, pressed down, running over, shall God give to you? The Bible teaches us to tithe is the Lord's. It belongs to Him. And so they finally understood that, and I'm grateful that they did. Easy religion is always dangerous because it leads to idolatry. It always does. Easy religion progressively builds a wall between our souls and Almighty God. I sense a calm craving for easy religion in our land today. It's frightening prospects. We hear about being tolerant of everything except God and Christianity, so much so that many churches, our church, other churches who dare to believe the Word of God are being ridiculed. But many times they see in people who profess to be members of a local congregation who display an obvious lack of dedication to God. It's amazing to me how the followers of Islam will readily die for a false religion. And we have a hard time, it seems, living for Jesus, a life that is true too many times. Folks, those folks are radical. They'll die for Islam because they've been taught falsehood. And if we're not careful, we'll fall prey to an easy teaching about religion. But I'll say this, easy religion can cost a nation its very life. The sin that verse 30 mentions permeated the nation, and Israel never recovered. There's a sad benediction over most of the kings in the dismal list of Israel's wicked kings. Even of Pekahiah, he was the 17th in the list. We read this about him in 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 24. Pekahiah did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. This was almost 200 years later. There had been a general process of degeneration, and the first link in the chain was Jeroboam. No nation has ever survived the loss of its religious faith. Israel was no exception, and I contend to you, America will not be an exception either. That is why I'm so concerned about our nation today. So many are turning away from our religious heritage. Even claiming this nation was not founded on Christian principles, trying to rewrite history and lying to the American people, lying to our young people about how this nation was founded. No nation has ever survived the loss of its religious faith. Neither will America. That's why we must be sure that we live out our faith on a daily basis, unapologetically and unashamedly. So that you see, there's a cure for easy religion. For such a complex problem, the cure is so simple. Take three C's and call on God. It's that simple. What are the three C's? Simply this. Easy religion is cured by conversion. true conversion. Unless a person is born again, they can jump through all kinds of religious hoops and still miss heaven because the real thing is not there. People don't need reformation or religion. They need transformation. A transformed life will result in a life lived out in a Christ-like way. That's what's needed today. People live out life in a Christ-like way. Secondly, it is cured by cultivation. A man was asked what church he attended. He replied that he did not go to any church regularly, but he named one church he stayed away from the most. Some kind of attitude, isn't it? Sadly, that church does not have monopoly on these stay-awayers. All of us need cultivation, do we not? James Hewitt asked a question, what is the church? And here's what he said about it. I think that I shall never see a church that is all it ought to be. A church whose members never stray beyond the straight and narrow way. A church that has no empty pews, whose pastor never has the blues. A church whose elders always speak and none is proud and all are meek. Such perfect churches there may be, but none of them are known to me, but still will work and pray and plan to make our own the best we can. Church is like a crop, folks. I come from an agricultural background. Grew up farming with a neighbor. And most of the churches I've pastored have been in rural areas where you say, well, Coach Baptist Church was in town. Well, we had farmers. That was all around us. When we looked out of our parsonage, we first moved in there. That was the tobacco field. And she got in the back window. So I have associated with farming. So church is like a crop. For a crop to grow, it must be cultivated to keep out the weeds. It must be fertilized properly to nourish it. The crop must be watered adequately for it to bear fruit. So then a church must cultivate a life of godliness to keep out the weeds of sin. A church people must feed on the Word of God to nourish the soul and rely upon the Holy Spirit to produce fruit. But a church is also cured, these religions also cured by commitment. True test of our religion is the depth of our commitment to Jesus Christ. Art Turok said this, there's a difference between interest and commitment. When you're interested in doing something, you do it only when circumstances permit. When you're committed to something, you accept no excuses, only results. If your religion is easy, if your church membership is not costing you something, if it's not demanding of you, then you can be sure that the church doesn't mean what it's supposed to mean and could mean in our lives. It requires commitment. There was a sign at the entrance to one church driveway. Enter at your own risk. Intriguing statement to enter into a church, isn't it? Enter at your own risk. It was placed there for a different purpose, but it proclaims the truth that church affiliation, if it means what it ought to mean, separation from sin and utter dedication to God, could be dangerous. Discipleship costs something. The example is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Folks, I submit to you, the cross was costly. And he tells you and me, you would come after me, take up your cross daily. Follow me. It requires commitment. Years ago, a Methodist bishop got off a train in a small town in the deep south. Seeing a friendly-looking man on the deserted station platform, he asked him, does anyone around here enjoy religion? To which the old man replied, yes, sir, them that has it does. What about us? Are we enjoying our religion? If it's real, it is enjoyable, and it is rewarding, but I submit to you, folks, it ain't easy. We sometimes get the idea that I become a Christian and invite Christ into my life, I'm going to be put on one of these magic carpet rides above all the problems of life. Most likely you'll have more problems than you ever had, more challenges, because you're going to see you're going against the grain of the rest of the world, and it's going to be challenging. It won't be easy. But folks, let me tell you something. Easy religion is fatal to an individual. It's fatal to a church. It's fatal to a nation. Do you enjoy your religion? Do you enjoy your relationship with Jesus Christ? And I submit to you, it will be costly. Old Dr. Vance Havner, years ago, told a story about two Indians who had been watching a lighthouse go up, came over to see the big event on the big day. It was to be dedicated. It was all set up with the lights and the bell and the horn. But the day that it was due to open, the worst fog of all fogs came in. One Indian said to the other, "Light shine, bell ring, horn blow, but fog came in just the same." Folks, we never had more lights shining and bells ringing and horns blowing in our churches than we have today. But I'm afraid we've never had more fog in our country. There needs to be a recommitment of our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in church after church after church. Many of us are no exception. Why in the world on Sunday morning and even on Sunday night, why are there so many empty pews when we have about 230 some members on our roll today? Boy, I'd love to get half of them here every Sunday, wouldn't you? Half of them. What a great joy that would be. We need to pray that God will fill this building up. I would love to see a time when we have to come together as a people, when we have so many folks coming on Sunday morning. Preacher, we got to do something. We need more space. Maybe we need to go to two services. Wouldn't that be great? God would be pleased with that. And folks, I look forward to the day when maybe that'll happen. I believe it can happen here when we take our religious relationship with Jesus Christ as seriously as we ought. Bow with me in prayer. Father, thank you for reminding us that we need to be serious about our relationship with you, and the benefits of it can be wonderful. Yes, we face challenges in our world today. We're looked at as being radicals, and sometimes accused of being hate people of hate instead of love. It's because the world just doesn't understand what it means to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. So help us, God, to be that individual, that church, that stands by the truth of your word, and that also unapologetically proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ, and in so doing, do so with a spirit of love for people who need Jesus. I pray that they'll see that we are Christians by our love, as the song goes, and to know we belong to Jesus Christ, and that we have committed ourselves to have a closer walk with Jesus each day of our lives, demonstrating what it means to be truly Christian. Help us to do just that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hymn of Decision tonight in the sweet by and by. Boy, that's going to be a wonderful time one day when we shall meet on that beautiful shore. And think about it. Is there somebody around that you want to be sure that's going to be there too? It's going to be a grand and glorious time, folks. And when we get to heaven, all these difficult times and challenging days that we face down here will fade into insignificance, and we'll just say, thank you, Jesus, for seeing me through and preparing a wonderful place for us to spend all eternity. By the way, we ain't going to sit around on clouds strumming harps. We're going to be busy in heaven. It wouldn't be heaven if we sit up there doing nothing, would it? So we're going to be busy serving God and praising him. But we need to prepare for it down here.